saints.
We say we believe in the communion of saints every week when we recite the Apostles' Creed. But what is the communion of saints? Who of us really understand what we're professing to believe? Communion of saints is just simply a phrase that you are familiar with when we say it in the Apostles' Creed, along with the list of other things we proclaim that we believe in the communion of saints. But the concept is never explained. It just sits there in a list and lets us wonder what we have just professed. So I ask you this morning, how many of us go home on Sunday after service and just contemplate, what is it that I just professed to believe? Or do we just move on to the next thing and wait till the following Sunday and recite it again? To head into this, we need a couple of definitions. First, communion. That narrow sense of the word communion is a technical term for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Oh, it's Communion Sunday. Oh, first Sunday of the month, we have to take communion. So we use this term as coming to the table to celebrate the Lord's Supper. What we want here, however, is the broader sense of the word in which a group of people commune together. It's a word that comes from the same root as the word community. And it implies that we are being together. Not just in body, but in soul and in hurt. To be in communion with someone is to be open to someone at a deep, heartfelt level. Which is why the sacrament of Holy Communion is such a powerful agent for reconciliation and forgiveness. When we come to the table, that's what we're celebrating. That we have been forgiven. And that's what we are saying, that we will forgive others. We will follow the example of Jesus Christ. It is a time when God opens us up to use, through Jesus' broken body and his shed blood. When we acknowledge that before God, we are all equal, one with each other, because Jesus has allowed us to be one with him. The second word that needs understanding is saints. So now if you come from a Roman Catholic background, you are used to a whole list of people who have been formally named saints. They have this big ceremony. This is not what we mean. Saints here means the same thing that Paul meant when he wrote his letters. Throughout his letters, Paul makes reference to the saints. He calls the church people saints. And we can see this throughout. Saints in the Bible simply means believer. Someone who is professing Christian. The word saint means holy one. Now I'm going to make a point of this. It means holy one in both the Greek language and the Hebrew language. Now I found that kind of struck me a little bit because the Bible was written in both Greek and Hebrew. the Old Testament being in Hebrew, the New Testament being in Greek, and it just struck me that this word saint in both languages meant the exact same thing. So when we hear reference this word in the Old Testament and then reference it in the New Testament, we know that the meaning is the same. It didn't change over the years. And to be holy merely means to be set apart. When we say, yeah, I'm a Christian, when we say that, when we tell people that we are Christians, we have set ourselves apart from the rest of the world. Not that we don't interact or take part in earthly activities, but that we do so in ways and with motivation that are different from those who have not made such a profession. So, the communion of saints is talking about the way Christians commune with each other, how we should interact with each other, and how we should live out our lives in unity with Christ. So I think there are two great examples of what that looks like. Remember back when the miners in Pennsylvania were trapped in the coal mine? Remember they augered this hole down and lifted them up through this tiny little hole there? You see them coming out and they were just like this, one at a time. Remember that? Probably they weren't thinking, hey, if we tie ourselves together, that would be a great illustration for the communion of saints. I doubt that they were thinking that. But that would be a great illustration. But it turned out to be exactly that. Those nine men were determined that they would stick together no matter what happened. Nobody who died would just float away into oblivion. When they found one, they found all of them because they tied themselves together, because they were in community with each other. That is exactly the kind of mutual support that we say we believe in when we say, I believe in the communion of saints. We who have not set ourselves apart to live as Christians need to be roped together. Because what happens to one of us affects all of us. When we say we're Christians, and then we go out and we do something stupid, or something that is not Christ-like, or something other than what we profess to be, affects all other Christians. Especially the ones that you worship with. Especially the church that you attend. We are all roped together. We should be unwilling to allow anyone to float away into oblivion. And we ought to be helping each other travel along in that same direction. Think of what being tied together means. Nobody really is on their own. Some might be stronger than others. Some might need to be carried for a bit. But you have to work it out so that everybody is at least trying to go in the same direction, and nobody is going to get anywhere by themselves. That's what Christian faith is. That's what it's supposed to be. There's no lone rangers in our Christian walk. There's no competition. It takes teamwork. It's harder for the strong ones, but we are called to be shepherds for the weak ones. Those miners felt emotionally stronger knowing that they were committed to each other. Nobody was trying to survive at the expense of the other. Each one was working for the good of the whole. You don't have to look very far these days to see what's happening when people never learn that lesson. Any one of those coal miners could have taught Facebook or Apple or Amazon or those in Washington, D.C. or a host of others a few things. The communion of saints is an important concept because it is a way to keep the body of Christ strong. So the second illustration adds another dimension. In the passage that we read from Hebrews, the author is talking about surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What he's talking about is in the preceding chapter, in Hebrew 11, which is often called the faith chapter, and I encourage you to read Hebrew chapter 11. You'll understand why it's called the faith chapter. We have been presented with a whole litter of God's faithful. The chapter mentions Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and the bunch of others as saints. As we learn at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12, the whole purpose of reminding people of those faithful folks of the past is to give strength to the faithful folks of the present. We need to lean on those past, those saints of the past, in order to see the direction that the saints of the present need to go. It seems to be a sermon. And the people to whom that sermon was preached have been having a rough time. Persecution had begun. They haven't quite gotten to the point of martyrdom, but they have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. However, they have all been thrown in prison. They have all had their property taken from them. And they have been persecuted in other ways because of their faith. That's not easy to go through, and it's nearly impossible to go through on your own. They had each other. Let me ask you this. Would you be here today? Would you be sitting here in these pews? Would you even consider getting in your car and driving to worship if you were faced with some form of persecution? Would you be here today if you thought your next stop might be prison? Would you be here today if you thought your next stop would be death? Or all of your possessions would be taken away? Would we gleefully come and worship our Savior under them circumstances? They had each other, and when you are thrown into a dark prison cell by yourself, it's hard to draw strength from just that. When you're sitting there all alone, when you're home, the cell thing here is just an illustration, but when you're walking through your life and hardship hits you, when you're struck with cancer, when you enter into hospice, when a loved one dies, or one of your children becomes ill, or your spouse, where do you go to call on for help and comfort if we are not tied together with that rope? Who do you call on? It would be another saint. When we say, I believe in the communion of saints, we are saying that we believe in the power of the community of believers to strengthen our faith. It means that we believe together we can make it. You see, if we tie ourselves together, we can get through almost anything. This isn't just the saints that are sitting here this morning. This isn't just the saints that we come in acquaintance with through our daily walk. This is the saints that have gone before us. Our parents, perhaps a child, a grandmother or a grandfather, or somebody, just an acquaintance that has had a spiritual effect on your life and what direction you walk on. We can and we must and we need to call on the saints of the past so we know what direction the saints of the present have to go. And then, someday, the saints of the future will look back at us, the saints of the past, for that direction. So it's important that we know what direction we're going. It's important to walk that path. It's important to be tied together with that rope. We must tie ourselves to the saints of the past, to the saints of the present, and also to the saints of the future. It is our actions today that are available to tomorrow's Christians for strength. I think that knowledge provides strength because we tend to behave better when we are being watched. If every word out of our mouth were taped, you can believe there would be a lot different type of conversation. If every action of ours was on video, you can bet that a lot of acts would be cleaned up. We believe in the communion of saints. We believe that we are all tied together. What helps one helps all. And what hurts one hurts all. We believe that even if you're dead, you're not going to float away into oblivion. Just because a loved one passed away, just because we laid him in a grave, just because they went to heaven, to that mansion in the sky, our rope is so long that it will reach all of that way and keep us tied together, just as it will for the saints of the future. Do you believe in the communion of saints? Would anybody know that you believe by watching you? So I ask you, how could you strengthen the faith of this community that is tied up with you? I invite you to recall the names of some of the cloud of witnesses that are a help to your Christian walk. They might be people living or people that have died. As Paul said, or those that have fallen asleep. Famous people or people nobody else has heard of. They should just be people who helped in some way to strengthen your faith. So I ask you right now to take a moment I'm going to be quiet for a few minutes and just recall a saint that has helped you in your spiritual life. Take a moment. As we come to the table this morning, as we bring with us the memory of the cloud of witnesses that have helped you and me in our walk, remember that we believe in the communion of saints. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.